Well, we praise the Lord for this opportunity to share God's word. And we're grateful to God that time and distance is not a barrier for the Lord. So wherever you are joining us this morning, we are grateful to God that you are here with us. And we trust that the Lord will minister to you as we look through his word. And the worship team were singing, and as we were worshiping together, they affirmed the fact that Jesus is our firm foundation. We put our trust in him. And he's our hope and firm foundation. He'll never let us down. So I would like us to just be reminded today as we're looking through today's message in Psalm 121, the series that we've been doing in the book of Psalms, in the life of David, dealing with anxiety. God is the one who keeps us in the paths of life that we travel. You'll appreciate we are online because we can't meet together. We're online because there is a pandemic that is worldwide. But you see, it is important for us to remind ourselves that there's something that is constant, that never changes, and that is the Word of God and God's faithfulness. That will never change. And if there's something that is constant in this world, is that it's constantly changing. But we need to put our faith in this firm foundation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So we've been looking through the past few weeks at the life of David. We have seen through these messages that have been preached that David epitomizes many facets of our lives. He experienced great victories. He experienced great failures. And we identify ourselves with what David went through. And so he'll provide us with a wealth of responses that we need to relate to as we look at our own lives. We take some valuable insight into how to respond to different challenges in our lives today. Maybe I'll start by asking you the question, how is your life today? How do you see your future? For some, they're anxious about what the future holds because our lives have been transformed in this situation that we're facing. There are many circumstances that are not the same anymore. But let's be reminded that throughout history, when there's been challenges, this is not the first plague that has happened in history. This has happened before. So I want to encourage each and every one of us that this too will pass. But what should we do in the midst of these challenging times? Let's turn our Bibles to Psalm 121 for today's sermon. Psalm 121, and David reminds us, even through the things that he went through, that we could still put our trust in the Lord. Psalm 121 reads, I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forth and even forevermore. And I say a big amen to that. What an encouraging passage of scripture. David reminds us about God's help and that we can get that help even in our time today. So as we look through God's word today, you may have gone through many different situations. We've had some sad news about people passing. We've had circumstances where people's lives have been turned upside down because maybe businesses have failed, jobs have been lost. But let me just turn your attention to what David is telling us in this particular psalm, that we know and we should know and we should go and get help where we can get it, and that's from the Lord. Someone once said, and I like this definition about success. He said, success is overcoming many failures. That's what success is, overcoming many failures. We're not perfect. We are striving to be perfect. We are moving ahead in the Lord, and the Lord who is faithful will see us through until the very end. So this psalm that we've just read helps us refocus on God, and we want to examine David's approach in how he encouraged himself in the Lord. And this particular psalm reveals to us some very important truths about David's identity that I want us to relate to. David identified himself as a soldier. And not only as a soldier, he also identifies himself as a sojourner or somebody who's on a traveling journey of life. He's a pilgrim. So some very important lessons that we will find in this particular passage is that the Bible also tells us that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3 says this, "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible reminds us about the fact that we are also pilgrims. We are travelers through this life. It says, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul." We are soldiers as well as travelers. So when we are dealing with anxiety, we're telling ourselves we're not so sure about what lies ahead of us. We're not so sure about how to handle circumstances that we're going through. So the Psalm 121 gives us comfort and consolation in God's character and His characteristic actions. We need to remind ourselves that God has a character that is trustworthy, and He acts out His trustworthiness in our lives. So we'll focus on very simple truths to remind ourselves in the few moments that we have, three simple truths about God, and then three lessons that we can apply related to those truths that we find in this particular psalm. The first thing we want to look at, based on what David reveals to us here, is that God is a provider. Not only is He a provider, God is also a protector. And also, as a protector, He's also a preserver. So essentially, these three areas David reveals to us, we can glean many things from this passage, but I want us to center on those three specific areas. The fact that God is a provider, is a protector, and that He's a preserver. Verse 1 introduces us to a very important point. He says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills." Now this, we would wonder, what is he talking about? You see, the hills and the mountains depicted strength, depicted a place where God is found. So the Lord surrounds His people like the hills surround Jerusalem. That's what the Bible tells us in Psalm 125 verse 2. Now what he's saying is, where can I get my help? In fact, it's a rhetorical question, because it's like saying, wasn't that great? You're not really asking for an answer. If you say, now, how about that? You're asking a question, but you're really not asking to get an answer. It's a rhetorical question. He's saying, of course I will get my help from the Lord. And who is this Lord? He says in verse 2, "The Lord, maker of heaven and earth." Maker of heaven and earth. Now, if someone who has made the heavens and the earth is your help, I am pretty sure you'll get the help that you need. The Bible tells us here, He is the maker of heaven and earth. David is reminding us that you need to remember that the God you're dealing with is the all-powerful God, the one who created this whole thing and created you. And so God has the capacity, He has the power, and He has the will to help you. Not just good intentions. Man can let you down by saying, I'll do it for you. But they don't have the capacity sometimes to do it, because they are finite. They don't have the control of all the things that surround them. And therefore certain things would have come upon them, and they fail to do the promise that they've given you. But God has no such limitations. The Bible tells us here that He is able, because He's the maker of the heavens and the earth. Not just good intentions. That tells us He's omnipotent. He is the provider. He can provide for you. Whatever it is that you need in this life, let's turn our eyes to Him, who is the provider of all that we need. Verse 3 and 6 to 6 says, "He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber." It is very interesting to realize that God actually keeps us. Sometimes we're not even aware that is keeping us from a lot of things. But He's the one who keeps us. "Behold, he who keeps Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep." If He can take care of a nation, He can take care of you as an individual. And the Bible introduces us to this very important concept of the fact that God doesn't sleep. He's watching over you day and night. He doesn't have the limitations that we have. At some point today, you're going to end up in sleep and you're very vulnerable. But God does not sleep and He watches over you. Isn't that a fantastic thought? He is omnipresent. He is, the second point, your protection. Not only your provider, He is your protection. From the things that sometimes you don't see, the things that you don't even know or can't control, He can protect you just like He protects a whole nation. In this case, David says Israel is protected by God. He certainly can protect you if He has the capacity to take care and protect a whole nation. An interesting statement is given to us in verse 5. It says, He's your shade at your right hand. You might be wondering, what is he talking about? This is because he's a soldier. Usually the soldier keeps the shield on the left hand, and the right hand doesn't have a protection. It has nothing there. And the Bible is showing us that the right hand God covers. So you're protected whichever way. If beyond your own strength of protection, he's your right hand. He's your shade at the right hand where there is no shield. So God leaves no area of your life exposed and vulnerable. That is wonderful, isn't it? Verse 6 tells us, the sun will not smite you. You're thinking, oh, well, the sun doesn't, does it? Or the moon by night. What David is telling us here is that whether it is daytime or whether it is nighttime, no matter what time it is, you are protected by God. You are completely protected day and night because he knows you need that protection. And because he knows, he's omniscient, he's all-knowing. We're dealing with a God who's all-knowing. He knows that you need that protection. Verse 7 and 8 tells us, he will preserve thee from evil. He will preserve you from evil. That's the third point. God is your preservation. Your going out and your coming in is preserved by God. That is an incredibly comforting thing. I am preserved no matter where I am, whether I come and go, I am preserved by God. Meaning in all my ways, he will be there to preserve my life. David affirms these truths to us. God is a provider. God is a protector. And God is a preserver. Now, I want to apply these truths to our current situation. And I pray that you can look at your own situation. Whatever it is, we face many different circumstances. Some may be sickness. It may be situations of a loss of income. It may be a situation of a loss of a loved one. I want you to look at this with an open heart and let the Spirit of God minister to you in a fresh new way. Let these not be just words that you hear or that you've heard before, but let the Spirit of God minister to you because it's a word in season for you. David says that this is true about God. This is who he is. I'm reminded about what somebody said some years ago. I thought it was very profound what he said. And sometimes this is a struggle that a lot of people go through, even good, well-meaning Christians go through. He said, I don't really have any problem with believing that God can do anything. I believe God is almighty, and I'm sure you do. You even believe God made the heavens and the earth. That's good. You believe God can do what he says he can do, and that's good. But what this person said is that I don't have any problem with believing that. But the problem that I have is believing whether he would do it for me. See, that's where the connection takes place. That's where the real matter comes to a fore in all of our lives. We believe God is who he is, but do we believe he can do it for us? You see, here's a statement. Jesus died. That's a statement of fact. But when you say Jesus died for me, it's a statement of faith. So I want to apply it to us. Let's not just believe what the Bible says is true about God. Let's experience what the Bible says is true about God in our personal lives. And I can give this illustration. There is electricity, and hopefully there's no load shedding where you are. There's electricity all around us, but it's only as useful as we get connected to it and switch on the lights, switch on the switch to connect the electricity. Now, this is the switch. There's the truth about who God is, but the switch that connects us to that truth is our faith being activated. So let's see how we can activate our faith in what David has revealed as true about God. The first thing I would like to suggest to us, based on what David revealed, that he is a provider. Therefore, why don't we make him our source? That's the first thing. Well, let's make God our source. Let's activate, let's switch on and say, then I want you to be my source. And the second thing, when David says God is a protector, then why don't you make God your sustainer? Let him sustain you. And the third thing is David saying God is he's your preserver. So why don't you make him your salvation? So let's have a look at these three areas. Let's apply them and allow the Spirit of God to minister to us in a fresh new way. So God is a provider. So why don't you make him your source? Connect with him. Ephesians chapter 1 verse 3 says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. He has already made it available to you. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. And if you're not a believer, you can come into the family of God today, and this passage of scripture will be true for you. So where is the difference? We need to connect to that blessing. We need to exercise our faith. Somebody just this past week said to me, I met him in the street. He stopped his car, and I was really blessed to have met him because of what he said. He stopped the car, and he said, I said to him, oh, how are you doing in these COVID situations? And his answer was a blessing. It reminded me of really keeping my focus on God. He said, oh, I don't consider the COVID thing a particular concern, not in the sense that it's not something that you don't take heed to, but he says, I fix my eyes on the promises of God. And I thought, wow, I'm so glad you said that, because it turns our focus to what really is important. The problem may be there, but the solution is also there, and it is much bigger, and it's available. So make him your source, because he's a provider. Make God your source. And the second thing that David told us as we read this passage is that he's a protector. Now, because he's a protector, why don't you make him your sustainer? Do you know, as you grow older in the things of God, and as you grow older in experiences in life, you begin to realize that you really can't protect, or you really can't sustain yourself. You really can't sustain yourself. I mean, this whole pandemic, this time a year ago, wasn't here. We had no idea we'd live our lives the way we're living now. We didn't have the capacity to control it. But we know one who has the capacity to sustain our lives. And when our lives are in his hands, they are safe and secure. Jesus told us that we are safe. Paul, rather, said concerning Jesus that our lives are hidden with Christ in God. You can't have a better place of safety than that. The book of Jude says in Jude chapter 1 verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you. Did you hear that? He's able to keep you from stumbling. He sustains you. David says he keeps your foot from slipping. He keeps you from stumbling. From him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now this is our confidence, not in our own strength, not in our own capacity, in the capacity that God has to sustain our lives. So if I put my faith in him, I'm saying to myself, I am safe and he will sustain me. Jesus says, I'm with you till the very end. I'm with you to the very end. I can almost hear you saying amen to that. The third thing that I want us to apply based on what David tells us about this passage, about him, God, being a preserver, because he's a preserver, the Bible tells us there, he says he will preserve your soul from this time, even forevermore. So why don't you make him your salvation? Since he's a preserver, why don't you make him your salvation? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 9, the Bible says, "For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ." That's the appointment that God has put. And the Bible says, he's not willing that any man should perish, but all should come to repentance. Now, if you are a believer, you should rest in the confidence that God is preserving your life and present you with exceeding joy, present you to himself at the time you come to meet with him. Isn't that wonderful news? So as we have looked through this passage with the few moments that we have left, I want to just draw your attention to how you should respond. Make him your source. Make him your sustainer. Make him your salvation. Because he's a provider, because he's a protector, because he's a preserver, you don't need to worry. You don't need to fret. You don't need to feel hopeless and helpless. If you believe in God, you have believed in one who is able to do far more than what you think and are able to imagine. The Bible tells us, and I would like to remind you, that we're not speaking words that are from our minds and we make them up. But this is what the scripture says. In Psalm 78 verse 41, the Bible says, "Yes, again and again, the children of Israel tempted God." They limited God. That's what we do a lot of times. This is too big. God can't handle it. But the passage of scripture that we have read tells us he made the heaven and the earth. If you're a young person, you probably say, "He made this joint. That's what he did. He's the one who made this thing." So we have to remind ourselves, let's not limit the Holy One of Israel. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 14 says, "Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." Are we not in the evil day? These are evil days. But what you are encouraged to do is do whatever you can to stand. And after you've done what you need to do to stand, the Bible says, stand therefore. Just keep standing. God is faithful and he will show himself on your behalf. Matthew chapter 8 and verse 2 and 3 says, a story that is really a very encouraging one, where Jesus is telling us about his willingness to help us in our time of need. And if you are a good Bible student, you'll realize that leprosy in those days was a hideous disease. It was incurable in some sense, just like we're facing right now in our circumstance with the COVID. And there was a leper that came to Jesus, and I'm so glad he came to Jesus. That's where the solution is. He came to Jesus. He didn't sit back and wait until it was over. He came to Jesus. And in Matthew 8, 2 and 3, the Bible says, "And behold," I like the use of the term "behold." It's drawing your attention to an important fact that is about to be given to you. "Behold." It's like waking you up. "Hey, look at this. This is serious. A leper came and worshipped him." Now notice that. The leper worshipped him. He knew where to take his worship. He knew where to take his hope and his dream of getting help. Worshipped him, saying, "Lord," you might be saying the same thing, if you are willing, "you can make me clean." You can. Just like I said earlier, some of you might be thinking, "Yes, I know God can." But then the question you have, is he willing? Is he willing? The beautiful words that came from Jesus' mouth are in verse 3. The Bible says, "Then Jesus put out his hand." I just love the way he acted. Before he said anything, he acted. Isn't that great? He acted, put out his hand. The leper was unclean. It was wrong, ceremonially wrong for him to touch the leper. But Jesus, the maker of heaven and earth, the all-powerful, the all-knowing, the all-present God, stretched out his hand and touched him, something that nobody wanted to do. Touched him, saying, I am willing. There is no greater comfort than that. I am willing, be cleansed. And the Bible says, immediately his leprosy was cleansed. You ask yourself the question, is he willing? There's your answer. He is willing. You ask yourself the question, can he do it? There's your answer. He can do it. So don't forget God's power. Don't forget that he's more than able to do it. Don't forget that he is a God who loves and cares about you. He says, never will I leave you nor forsake you. Psalm 121 is a psalm of comfort and consolation. And I pray that you'll revisit and connect, just like switching on the light, with your faith, no matter how small your faith is. It could be just a mustard seed faith, Jesus said. Just a small faith. Turn your faith toward God, and the rest belongs to him. All God wants from you is to put your faith in him, and he will come through for you. I am completely confident that anyone who comes to Jesus, he will not in any wise cast out. That's what the Bible tells us. And so I want to encourage those of you, perhaps who are listening to us for the very first time, and perhaps you don't even know, you don't have a relationship with God, you're not even sure where you stand with God, that God is inviting you, just like the Bible tells us in Matthew 11, verse 28, that all you that labor and are heavy laden, he will give you rest. The invitation has been given to him by him for anyone who would want to come to him because he's already willing. And so I encourage you, come to him because God is your protector. He's your provider and he's your preserver. So make him your source today. Make him your sustainer and ultimately make him your salvation. If there's anything more important in life, there isn't. He is your salvation. And today may be your special day. Watching us online, wherever you are watching us from, wherever, whichever part of the world you're watching this from, the message is very simple. This God that David believed in, this God who saw him through many failures, many victories, he reminded himself of who this God is. And how we should respond to him. And I admonish you, just like David, let that God come into your situation. And he'll give you a perspective to life in the midst of these challenges that will help you overcome and able to see tomorrow with confidence. So I'd like to invite any one of you who would like to give your life to Jesus. And even those of you who are going through a very difficult time, as the scriptures have reminded us, let's trust in the Lord. Let's reach out to him. Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is your time for you to trust in God. Connect with him through that little element of faith. Let him prove himself to you that he is indeed faithful. I want us to take a few moments and pray. And there are counseling lines that you can look at that will be appearing on your screen. There are people waiting to minister to you. There are people waiting to pray with you, whatever your need is. We're not praying to a God who doesn't hear us. The one who made our ears can hear us. The one who made our eyes can see us. And the one who made our lips can speak. And as he has spoken today, he's speaking that you might be comforted and know that he's still here in the midst of these challenges in our lives. Let's pray together. And I want to pray for those of you, first of all, who want to give your lives to Jesus. Let's pray together and ask him to come into our hearts and follow me in this simple prayer. And it's not praying to join a church. We're not talking about joining a church. We're talking about your salvation and in what Jesus made available for you as He died for you. Engage your faith because He did it for you, that you might have the righteousness of God and come into His family. Let's pray together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to You. I thank You for Your Word. I have heard Your Word. And I come in repentance. Jesus died for my sins. And I repent of my sins. And I ask Jesus to come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior, because I believe He rose from the dead. And today, I receive Him as my Savior and Lord. I thank You that You have received me, as I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And for those of you who are going through a hard time, whatever the circumstance is, I'd like us once again to just seek the Lord and pray and ask Him to intervene. We stand with you in prayer. We stand with you in your difficulty. And let's believe together that God will do a work and He will bring comfort and consolation, just like He did in this Psalm 121. Let's pray together. And I want to pray for you that God would minister to you and grant you His grace for you to see a brighter day ahead of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for that one who is in great distress and anxiety, in great sorrow and difficulty. Lord, You are more than able because You are omnipotent. And You are right there with them because You are omnipresent. And You understand their circumstance because You are omniscient. You know all things. Father, I lift them up to You and I pray that, Lord, Your grace and Your power may intervene in that situation. And those that are sick, that, Lord, You touch them where they are right now, that You lift them out of that sickness. In the mighty name of Jesus, we agree together as touching this need. May You grant them Your grace and Your power. In Jesus' name, we pray and ask. Amen. Amen. May the Lord richly bless you as you continue to trust the Lord. And we're so grateful that you joined us today. And we pray that this word will resonate in your hearts and in your day and in your week, to remind you that this God has not left you. He's still your provider. He's still your protection. He's still your preserver. All you need to do, make a decision. Make Him your source. Make Him your sustainer. And indeed, make Him your salvation. God bless you. We thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time with us. And we pray that the Lord will do what He said He would do in your life. Amen.